comes from the Gospel according to John in the 14th chapter, as we hear of Jesus comforting his disciples. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. So how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. And Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you for such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe in me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let us pray. Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The beginning of John chapter 14 is frequently read at funerals. And in fact, I found myself reading these very words at a funeral this past week. It speaks about Jesus preparing to leave his disciples, his closest companions, the ones who have become as family to him. This is Jesus saying goodbye to his disciples in a unique way, in fact, the only way that Jesus can. Jesus tells his disciples that in his Father's house are many rooms, many dwelling places. And that's a little misleading, maybe, because Jesus speaks of being with the Father and dwelling with the Father. So the place is the presence of God, and Jesus has prepared a place there for us. And so Jesus tells his disciples that they can be assured of this, because they know Jesus. And the Father is in Jesus, and Jesus is in the Father. The core of what Jesus is saying here to his disciples is, you know me, I know you, we have a future together, even though there are going to be some goodbyes we need to say in the meantime. So when you have to say goodbye, what do you say? That's a really big question. So let's make it a little more manageable. If you're talking on the phone and you're going to end the phone call, what do you say?
Goodbye.
Bye. Yeah. Sometimes it's love you, bye. Sometimes it's take care. Sometimes it's talk to you soon. Now suppose you're sending off some house guests. How do you see them off? Maybe you give them hugs. Maybe you stand on your porch or at the end of the driveway and wave. My husband's family loves to do the wave at the end of the driveway until they can't see you. You've driven off so far. How do you exit your home? When I exit my home, I have to say goodbye to the dog. And when I say goodbye to the dog, I say, goodbye, be a good dog, guard the house. I have to remind him to guard the house so that when I return, I can give him a treat for guarding the house. He's trained us well. There are things that we often say or do to express our goodbye. Jesus says it a little differently than I usually do. He says, believe in me, trust me, don't worry. These are the commands that Jesus gives to his disciples on the eve of his crucifixion. Perhaps his way of saying goodbye to them. Now, how hard it is to say goodbye depends on a lot. Sometimes it depends on how temporary or permanent the goodbye is. Sometimes it depends if the time is right, or if it's too soon, or if it's been too long coming. Sometimes how hard the goodbye to say depends on if you are the one leaving, or if you're the one left behind. And sometimes we don't get to say goodbye, or at least not on our own terms. Sometimes to say goodbye, we need to steel ourselves up. We need to take some time to plan it out. Other times, we're in denial that we need to say goodbye. And sometimes our goodbyes represent a change in our lives, how we choose to live, who we're in relationship with, and when we're ready to let go. Today being Mother's Day and mid-May, I'm reminded that there are lots of goodbyes that might weigh heavy on our minds today. We have students who are finishing up high school, their undergraduate or graduate studies, who may be saying goodbye. Goodbye to friends or family as they finish major milestones and begin new chapters. We have sons and daughters who no longer have mothers present on earth. We have mothers who've lost sons and daughters. We have mothers who never knew sons and daughters. So how do you say goodbye? Jesus offers words of comfort and compassion to his disciples as he says goodbye. He gives them reminders and reassurance that they are his friends and his followers, and they will not be forgotten. Though things may not be the same as they have been in the past, Jesus tells them that there is hope for future possibilities. This parting is not a bitter parting, but a time of tenderness. And while Jesus doesn't give his disciples all the answers to their questions spelled perfectly out in a way that they understand and comprehend everything, he also doesn't suggest that life will be easy, and he doesn't rationalize the things that are to come. Instead, he gives his disciples permission to live fully, to do great things in the name of the Father, and to pray boldly. As much as we might not like to say goodbyes, or we try to outrun them or throw around phrases to try to say goodbye without actually having to say goodbye, goodbyes come time and time again. I've had to say goodbye many times. In fact, I was counting. I had moved 9 times in 11 years. I said goodbye to friends and to family. I said goodbye in parting to loved ones. I've held the hands of those who are dying, and I've had splitting of ways and disagreements, broken relationships that ended up being goodbyes I hadn't intended. I found, though, what Jesus says about being the way and the truth and the life, to be a cornerstone in my life. I remember it was about 7 years ago when I got married to Ryan and we moved to North Carolina in about a week's time. My parents, now they were telling me this a few years after, of course, they thought we were crazy to get married and immediately move over 1,200 miles across the country, away from our established support systems, from our friends, from our family, to a place where we knew no one. I remember praying a lot and trusting that God would hold it all together, that Ryan and I would survive the distance, that we would meet and make friends, and that we would find a church family. I remember trusting that God had guided us to graduate schools and seminaries, to programs that would be the best for us, that would grow us and challenge us, and that would make us better Christians. We trusted that our cornerstone really was a cornerstone, that a way had been prepared for us, and that we weren't standing on a sinking foundation. Here's the thing about goodbyes. They're never really goodbyes, because how you live into the future has forever been changed because of the person or situation who has been left. Now, some people will have greater impact on our lives and what lies before us than others. It's true. But oftentimes what constitutes a good goodbye is a charge to live differently. And that's what Jesus offers his disciples and us. A charge to live differently. To trust Jesus as our cornerstone. To believe in him. And to pray boldly so that we will do great things to the glory of God. As we reflect on Jesus as the one who makes a way in our lives for us to come ever closer to the Father, I want to share a poem with you. It's a meditation written by Jan Richardson on this part of John chapter 14, and it's called Blessing with Many Rooms. As you step inside this blessing, we wish to tell you it is large enough for you to lie down in, or, though it may not look as small as it is upon this page, you can curl up in this blessing with a cup of tea and a good book beside the window here, just behind you, that faces east. Likewise, it is true, though you might not have paused long enough to notice, that this blessing is big enough for a table. Quite a sizable one can be accommodated, where your guests will want to linger far into the night. And if they desire to stay, you will find that through this door, did you not see it there before? There are rooms in plenty where they can lay their heads and stretch out with abandon in their dreaming sleep. One room, many rooms. In this blessing, it is all the same. The point is that there is space enough, enough to make a life, a home, enough to make a world, enough to make your way toward the one who has made